Great singing, amen? I'll tell you why I can't sing. Okay? I like to sing. You know how it is when you're in the shower, you think you sound better than you really do. But if I'm singing and I get to feeling good, I just want to stop and preach. We had a men's banquet one time. Church used to go to, and they had a guy come to sing, and he was a great singer. But he had recently announced his calling to preach, and he couldn't help himself. You know, when the Holy Spirit's present, that's kind of the way it is. And we're so thankful that God is here. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord comes down, right? And we're glad, glad that God is here with us. A couple of things I was thinking about as I was sitting there. We've got a lot coming up at the church. I want to mention, you know, D.J. Shockley used to be quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs, and then he played for the Falcons. He is actually going to be here for our men's banquet coming up, and, you know, we just are excited about that, but I think the ladies are going to give the men a run for their money this time. Because they've got a women's conference coming up. I think it's right around the same time, week before, week after. And they sold 70 tickets less than a week. We've got Randa Jordan's going to be here. So we had the Jordan Family Band here a little while back. And I'll tell you, it's probably one of the best services I can remember being in my life. God was all over the place. And we're glad that God is here. And we're glad that you are here. I'm sitting there thinking, I sure am glad Brother Jeff joined our church. Amen. Amen. But if you're here and you've joined, we're glad you joined.
Amen.
This is one thing that I believe, and I've said this. One time I taught a Sunday school lesson on this, no acceptable casualties. Let me tell you something, folks. If you'll stay where God's at, you won't have no problem. If we'll listen to the Lord and get our feelings out of the way and let God be in charge and not try to do our thing, then we'll be all right. But we got to be careful. And we got to pay attention, and we got to listen to what God's speaking to us. Because I want to tell you something, if you're here, you're just as much a member as I am.
Amen.
Just as much a member as a chairman of the deacons.
Amen.
Everybody's important in the house
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Now, if you got your Bible, we're going to read in Psalms chapter number 57, and I'm going to try to bring to you the things that God has settled in my heart. And it is important to me that this message every Sunday be the message that God wants us to have. Most of you know my dad was a preacher. I grew up in church my whole life, never known anything else. I can remember one time my dad made a comment. We were just talking. He had so much wisdom. He said, there is a message and there is the message. And what we want is the message that God wants. And we're going to pray. We want you to pray. And I believe this is what God wants this morning. But here's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about surviving the storm, but here's the key. You survive the storm by getting your heart fixed. And we want to talk about that this morning, and we're going to begin reading in Psalms 57, and we're going to read down to the 7th verse from the 1st verse and in a couple of other places and try to bring some things out of the Scripture. But in Psalms 57, beginning in verse number 1, it says this, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps, and my soul is bowed down. and they have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Now that seventh verse is our text verse. We're going to read a couple of more, but listen to this again. It says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. A couple of more places in Psalms 108 in verse number 1, it says this, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Then one more place in Psalms 112, beginning in the fifth verse. It says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever, and the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Now, we're going to go back to the 57th chapter, and we're going to work around in that scripture during this verse or this message. But here's what I want you to understand. If you look at Psalms 57 in verse number 1, in the latter part of the verse, it says, until these calamities be overpassed. Now, what it's talking about is storms. That until these storms be overpassed. Now, here's the thing to understand about life. And I was talking to a guy the other day, and I said this. I said, life will throw you a lot of curveballs. You know, it's like the person that can walk up to the plate, and you get used to it, and you can swing, and you can hit a fastball. And then they figure that out, and they throw you a curveball. And sometimes they're inside the plate, sometimes outside the plate, but you've got to make adjustments. Seems like when you begin to adjust, then they come up with a guy that'll throw a knuckleball, and he just messes you up completely. But you know, in life, it's kind of like that. You got storms. Storms are going to come, and you're going to have issues that are going to rise up. And when they do, here's where you have to be careful. They will rattle you. They will shake you, they will challenge you, they will knock you off of your pedestal or your platform and put you in a position that you are forced to make adjustments. You see, these storms in life, we can't help but we're going to have to deal with them. We're going to have to deal with change. We're going to have to deal with personal change. And here's the thing about those storms. Sometimes there are storms that we can do nothing about. Sometimes things just happen and we have to live with it. We have to deal with it. We have to find a way to make it through it. Sometimes storms come in our life because we don't make good decisions. Either way, when we get into that position, if we are a child of God or if we want God's help, there's something that has to happen for us to be able to get to the next place, for us to be able to get through it, for us to be able to survive. To survive, you need to get your heart fixed. Now, here's a couple of definitions of fixed that I want you to understand and look at. This is really just very simple, but fixed is this. It means securely placed or fastened. It means non-volatile. Firmly set in mind or settled. It could mean this. It means corrected or set in order. Now, there's a verse that came to my mind when I was looking at this. This is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now, this is an important verse, and if you're going to have an epitaph of life, if you're going to have something that describes you in life, this is a fantastic verse. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, you see, I believe that as Christians, and I believe that it's this way in our walk with the Lord, the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, it says you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? The Bible in one place also says not be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. We had on Sunday night, Brother Eddie, just not that long ago, brought something here, and he talked about just that very thing, about how important it is in our Christian walk that we begin to be led more and more by the Spirit. Amen. That the Spirit of God, when it becomes rich in us, it will change your heart and your mind and your desire to where you'll be turned more toward God, and you'll find it easier to live for God. You see, when we're growing in our relationship with God, we go from, and I've been there, I've said it, it's hard to be a Christian. You know why it was hard to be a Christian? Because the flesh was killing me. Now, I've come to the point in my life, I have to remember that back, because I want to tell you something, folks. There ain't nothing else I want to be. I don't feel like I've missed anything. And here's what I want you to understand. Everything that the devil has is a counterfeit for something better that God wants you to have. He wants you to think that's what's out there, that the grass is greener, that it's better over there, that if you could just get out of this or away from that, that it's going to be better for you. But I'll tell you something. If your life is not lining up with the Word of God, you've listened to the devil's lie. Not only have you listened to it, but you've allowed the devil to speak to you and convince you that it's God's will for you to be out of God's will and it'd be okay. But it's not okay. You've just listened to a lie. You see, the Bible tells us and it teaches to us, if we're going to stand, the very first thing we got to do is we got to get lined up with God, get in obedience to God. That's the only way we're going to make it through that storm and make it through the way God wants us to make it through it. Now, there are three areas that I want to share with you out of this scripture that I believe that God has pointed out to us that we need to get fixed in our lives. You see, if your heart is not fixed, if it's not established, if it's not, in essence, anchored, you're going to get knocked off course. You see, when the storm comes, it's not a time for us to lay down and quit on God. It's not a time to quit coming to church. It's not a time to deny your faith. It's not a time to say, well, it's all God's fault. No, it's not. You see, here's what I want us to understand. The people who blame God have forgotten that God loved them enough to give them free will. Amen. And what we need to understand is how to turn our free will toward His will. And if we do and we get fixed and established, we'll survive. The first one is this, and I want us to go back to these first two verses. We need to get fixed in the area of our circumstances. Now listen to these verses again. Says, be merciful unto me, O God, and be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. And here's the thing to understand. Remember, storms and troubles are going to come. We're going to have them. I don't like them. And I made the analogy one time. I used to live up in the mountains. And there was a pond that was over in a valley. And I used to go over there and I'd take my couple of fishing rods and a little beetle spin or a rooster tail. And it was a pond about the size of this sanctuary. And it was right down in the very bottom of a valley. And when I would go over there, you could just see the bass swimming in that lake. But I want to tell you, that lake, every time I ever went, was just like a sheet of glass. I mean, it did not move until the lure hit the water. I remember being over there and the leaf falling out of a tree and hitting and making little ripples. And I thought about it as I was standing there looking at that water. Here's what I said. Me and the Lord, you know, we were having a talk. Have a lot of talks with the Lord in the woods. Amen. And you know what I said? I said, God, this is the way I want my life to be. I said, look at this water, how still it is. I said, Lord, I don't mind serving you. I said, I just don't want to have to deal with those storms. I don't want to have to deal with those trials. I don't want to have to deal with all the things as a young man I knew were going to come my way. But sometimes it's not that way, is it? It's not that calm. It's not that still. In fact, it gets to the point sometimes it'll rattle us and shake us to our very core. And without God helping us, we don't know how we're going to make it. That's why in 1 Peter, Peter understood this when he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's almost like when you go through it, and I've been there, where you're just almost rattled to the point that you don't know how to even respond initially. I'll tell you what I've learned to do. It's number one, shut my mouth. And get on my knees. Because, you know, it's funny to me around here. I hear people talking. They have a Bible question. They say, go ask the pastor. I hear them say that and I try to hide. Because you know what? I don't have all the answers. And when I'm in the middle of a storm in my life, and sometimes we're in the middle of it, and my wife and I were talking recently going through a storm, and I told her this. I said, I tell you when we're going to know what to do is next year. I said, a year from now, we're going to know if we made the right decision. That's right. Because as you go through a storm, I tell you what you've got to learn to do. You've got to learn to listen to that still, small voice that speaks to you that comes from God. And you know why it's so distant and why it's so hard and we say a year from now? It's because we get in such a fidget, such a panic, such a rush that we don't listen to God and we react on ourselves. But we need to understand that circumstances and trials are going to come. Financial problems are going to come. Job and career troubles are going to come. Health troubles are going to come. I don't like going to the doctor anymore. They sent me stuff. They sent me a box the other day that I didn't order. Something they wanted me to do, I sent it back. Health troubles. Relationship troubles. You say, well, what about that? You can only be responsible for one person. One. The only person I can really keep right with God is me. I can't control my spouse. I can't really even control my children. I can make them come to the house of God when they're of age. And I can teach them about the Lord that I can live right in front of them. But they're going to come a point in their life that they're going to go do their own thing and yours are the same way. Let me tell you something. You got to understand, it's you and God first. What about church and fellowship troubles? I've said this before and it's true. The meanest people I've ever met in my life was in a Baptist church. But can I tell you the kindest, most loving, sweetest people I've ever met in my life were also in a Baptist church. And I love my church family and you are my family. And we have a lot of family folks that are in heaven, and we've got family in other churches right now that are worshiping God. And yeah, I believe there's some that pray for us. But let me tell you something, don't mean you won't have trouble. Now, next Sunday, y'all remember that. We might have a no color Sunday. You know, everybody's got to wear gray. See, what you have to do is not let your troubles blow you off course. How do you know when somebody's blown off course? They say, I think I'm just going to quit. What I'm doing doesn't matter anyway. You hear them say something like this. What's the use? You see, what we have to do, we have to get our heart fixed, and we're going to say, we're going to stay true to what is right because it's right. You know why you do what's right? Because it is right. And if I'm going to do what's right, it's not going to be based on what the person beside me does or the person across from me does. I'm going to do what's right because it's right in the sight of God, and He will reward me. Because if you will live for Him here, He's going to reward you openly in heaven. You know, some people, they want every reward here. They want everybody to know their name. They want their name in lights. But I want to tell you something, folks. I'd rather get before the Lord and hear Him say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant, into the joys of the Lord. Because when you are faithful over little things, the Bible specifically teaches, He will make you ruler over much. You see, God has a plan for our lives, even the storms. And I'll tell you for myself what I've learned. And folks, I don't like those storms. Remember what I like. I like that lake in the middle of that valley. You know why that lake was still? Because it never got any wind on it. Because the wind was always, it was so far down in the valley, even in the storm, the wind would go right over the top. But what I've learned when those storms come is when that wind blows, I just hold on and get down before God. There are times in my life I really don't know what else to do but just get on my knees and cry out to Him. James 1 and 2 says this, brethren, chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, I've heard this said, and it's true. You know, some people fly a lot. Some people don't like to fly. I've heard it said, you don't want to get on an airplane with somebody that's been praying for patience. When I get on them, I want it to take off. I don't want to be third in line. I want to be number one. I want to get up in the air. I want to get landed. I don't want to sit on the tarmac for 6 hours. You ever had those times in life to where you just wish things would move? I wish it would change. I wish something would happen. But here's the point, and this is what I want us to understand as God's family, that everything that happens in our life, if you're a child of God, you may not have caused it, it may not have even come from God, but if you're God's child, the Bible specifically tells us that He's working all things together for your good. It's kind of like when you make sugar cookies. And I did this one time as an illustration in Sunday school, and we had the bowl of flour. Nobody wants to eat a spoonful of flour. We had the bowl of sugar. Now, some people eat that. I don't even like to eat that. We had the raw eggs. We had a little baking soda. And we had vanilla extract. Anybody ever drank vanilla extract? It's like eating a green persimmon. It's not the same. But when you start to mix it together and you put the flour and the baking soda and the sugar and a pinch of salt and the eggs and the vanilla extract, it's not long till you've got something that starts to smell so good that you can walk through the room with it. And everybody that looks at it, they say, you know, I might want to buy that. That's why kids buy cookie dough ice cream. But you know, sometimes that's the way it is in our life. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what God's doing. But if you're a child of God, let me tell you something. He has not forgotten about you. He has a plan for your life. And if you'll just follow Him, He'll work in your life. And He'll fulfill the will that He has for you. You just be patient and get your heart fixed on Him. Philippians chapter 4, 5, and 6. I love these verses. And folks, let me tell you, I need these verses. It's the beginning of a new year. Some people are all excited. Drives me nuts. You go to work and you got budgets you can't meet. And they say, you got to own the budget. And you say, I didn't make that budget. Well, you got to own it anyway. How many of you like that? How are we going to live with this? What are we going to do? Let me tell you what I do. I read this verse. Let your moderation be known to all men. That means self-control. It says, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That means be worried for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what I do? I claim that every day. I claim it. I say, God, I need it. You see, and if I do that, here's the thing to understand about making it through these storms and keeping your heart fixed. Don't leave the only resource in your life that absolutely will not change. God will not change. Our circumstances will change. People around us will change. But God will not change. That's why the psalmist cried out and he said, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Don't walk away from God in the storm. Next thing we need to do, look at this scripture in chapter 4 through 6, or chapter 57, verse 4 through 6 in the book of Psalms. We need to get fixed in the area of our critics. It says, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. It says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps, and my soul is bowed down, and they have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Can I tell you something this morning? Nobody's going to get away with anything. You know, sometimes what we do is we look around us and we see the world, and it seems like, and the psalmist wrote this, if you go over and read the Psalm of Asaph, I think it's Psalm 72 or 73. I know it's one of those. He said, I look at the wicked and the prosperous, the way they're prospering. And he said, it troubles me so much. He said, I didn't even want my people to know how it affected my heart. You ever had trouble that was so rough in your life that you didn't want the people around you knowing it because you were afraid it would hurt them? You got to get your heart fixed in the area of your critics. You see, people are going to criticize you. You're going to have to deal with critics. Some people are not going to like you no matter what you do. But let me tell you something, God's going to deal with them. The psalmist wrote and he said, they will fall into their own pit. You think, well, when? You're almost looking for it. Do you know that this life is very short, right? We go through life. I can't believe I look around now. I mean, I'm looking out there thinking of some things in the future, and I want them to get here, but I don't want to wish my life away. And then I look back, it's kind of like thinking, you know, boy, I'll be glad when I was younger. I said, boy, I'll be glad when I get 25, my insurance will go down. Yeah. Now I'm thinking, boy, I'll be glad when I can get retirement and get away from this job. But I don't want to get old to do it. When? Do you know that it's not long till all of us are going to be in heaven together? Okay? All of us. Eternity is a long time, but if I live 20 years or 10 years or 50 years, it's not long. And we're going to stand before the Lord, and the Bible talks about us taking and laying our crowns at His feet. Do you know there are some people that you might think they're getting away from with everything, but when they stand before the Lord, their works are going to be just like the Bible says. It's going to be hay and it's going to be stubble because they claim God and they act like they know God, but they're not treating you right. They're not treating me right. They're not getting away with anything. Now, I don't know if they're going to be toilets in heaven, but if there are, they're going to be cleaning them. Yeah. That, I just want you to understand that. We get to heaven, it's not going to be the same reward for everybody. There's some people going to stand before the Lord, and He's going to say, you got your reward down there. Yeah. And there's a lot of people going to stand before the Lord. I believe this with all my heart. Nobody knows their name, Brother Tommy. But they might have pastored a little church somewhere in the backwoods, and they had a faithful congregation of 20 or 30 people, and they stood and they faithfully served God, and they're going to walk into heaven, nobody knowing their name, and God's going to say, y'all move back. Move back. I know that one right there. I've seen how he lived for me. I saw how faithful he was when he served me, and they're going to come before the Lord, and God is going to give them their reward. You serve God. You get your heart fixed. I guarantee you God can handle your critics. God knows how to handle us, amen? I fear Him. You say, well, should you fear Him? Yes, you should. He is a God of love, but the Bible also teaches that He is a consuming fire. And here's what the Bible teaches. Unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of them. And there's no way that I can believe that I was raised by the man that I was raised by, a man of God that loved God, that lived for God before me. I've been around preachers all my life that preached the Word of God, that loved God, that had Sunday school teachers that taught me and were patient with me, and people that cared for me and invested in my life, saved when I was a young man, know the Word of God, and not be responsible when I stand before the Lord. Nobody's getting away with anything. And here's one more. Look at verses number 8 and verse number 9. We need to be fixed in the area of our celebrating, and that is our worship. Look at this. It says, awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto me to thee among the nations. Got a verse here. This is Psalms chapter 91 and verse 2. Says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God, and in Him will I trust. You see, happiness is based on happenings, but joy is based on relationship. And worship is rejoicing in that relationship and singing and praising God. Have you ever had a time that your circumstances or your situation was not what you wanted it to be, and all of a sudden the Lord in His majesty and His power comes into your being, your presence? I tell you, I had a rough week at work this week. I was coming home Friday, and I was listening to Christian radio, and there was a lady that came on, and I want you to understand something. It's not Christian radio. It's not the testimony, okay? But a lady began to give her testimony about being a school teacher, and she had cancer, and she didn't know what she was going to do to pay her bills, so many bills piling up. She didn't have a Christmas tree. She had a wish, and somebody picked up her wish, and they sent the money. Here's all she wanted. She wanted enough money to buy food to cook for Christmas for her family. She didn't have a Christmas tree. She got home. She said, there was a Christmas tree sitting on my front porch. And she said, I opened the mailbox and somebody had stuck some gift cards in there. And she said, it was such a blessing to me. Now, folks, that's a blessing, right? It was a blessing to see what God did here when we had the names on the tree out here and we had presents lined up over here. But I'll tell you what happened to me when I heard that. The Lord came into my car. And he got a hold of me and he wrapped himself around me. And you know, can I tell you what the power of his presence is like? It wasn't the testimony. It wasn't the Christian radio. It was the fact that he came in and blessed me with his presence and his spirit to say, I'm still here, even in the time of your trouble, even when it's difficult. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And he wrapped his arms around me. You see, that's what worship is. You can come into the house of God every Sunday and say, well, they don't sing that song too good. That preacher can't preach. He sounds like a country bumpkin. It's not about me. It's nearly not about them. It's about him. And when you're looking for him, thank God sometimes his presence overwhelms us. You see, you can worship God in the midst of your storm, but you've got to want him. You can worship God in the midst of your trouble, because here's the way it is for me when I quote that verse, and sometimes here's what I do. I look up to heaven and I say, God, here's where I'm at, and I know where you're at, and God, I'm giving this to you, and you said I could claim it, and I'm going to claim it. That's why the scripture says, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I say, God, you're God. There it is. Fix it. I can't, but he can. See, without praise and worship, the darkest hours of our lives will overwhelm us. Worship is more than just being in church. Worship is being in his presence. And I believe that praise and worship are the only things that will lift us from our despair. Psalms 91 verse 3 and 4 says this, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. It's kind of like this, and you might think this is funny. But sometimes I come in from work, and it's been rough, and I say to my wife, I say, honey, will you rock me? Now, wait a minute. There's a little boy inside of every man in here. I don't care how old you are. There's a little girl inside of every woman, and it's like this. Would you just tell me everything's going to be all right? Would you take me back to a point in time to where I didn't have any worries or cares? When everything seemed to be okay and all you remember what it was like when you were a kid and you didn't worry about what your next meal was? You just come before mama called the third time for dinner because you knew she was coming after you if you didn't. You didn't worry about bills. You didn't worry about troubles. But you know, sometimes here's what I say. Lord, will you just cover me with your feathers? Will you just hold me, Lord? Tell me that everything's going to be all right? See, there may be a reason that we can't handle our circumstances. There may be a reason we can't handle our critics. There may be a reason that we can't really celebrate or worship. And this is it. We're going to play a song in just a minute. It may be that we need to get fixed in the area of our relationship with God. You see, could it be that we need to get something fixed in our relationship with our Heavenly Father so that we would be able to stand through the things that life throws at us. Could it be that somebody here this morning simply needs to feel that closeness of His presence? How long has it been since God rushed in and wrapped His arms around you and it overwhelmed you to the point that tears rolled down your cheeks? I don't care if you're the biggest, toughest man in here, you need that. See, I want to tell you right now, God's doing His part. And I'm so glad we go to a church where the Holy Spirit dwells. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to ask you to rise to your feet. See, right now God is doing His part. He's standing with His arms open wide. And I love that verse in Psalms where it says, "As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." I'll tell you, all that God wants from you is you. God's doing